We like to think of the Jefferson Exchange as something of a buffet with lots of different items to choose from, and it turns out thinking of a buffet makes us hungry. So we feature a once-a-month food segment called Savor. Will Smith is our partner. He's a food stylist, which means he's well-versed in making food and its preparation and making it look good on camera. Every month he brings a topic, a recipe, and a guest. This month we have the executive director of CascadeGirl.org, therefore the people running the Oregon Honey Festival. Tell people your name.
Sharon Schmidt.
Sharon Schmidt, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
We also have with us Marla Bulbear, who's the executive director of Lakota Youth Development in South Dakota. She's traveled to Ashland for the Oregon Honey and Mead Festival on Saturday to talk about young Lakota people producing honey under the Honey Lodge brand. So, Marla, pleasure to have you as well.
Thank you for having us.
So, let's start with you, Will. Yeah. Let's talk about the honey as food part of this first.
Yeah, it's a it's a really interesting ingredient to use. As a supplement or exchange for sugar. Sugar is only going to give you sweetness. Has really no other nutritional value other than carbohydrate. Honey, if you use as a supplement, it's going to give you a much richer, fuller, sort of floral, botanical sort of notes. And when you use honey in sort of softer recipes, say of signature cocktails or salad dressings, you're going to get that richness and a beautiful flavor that sugar just really can't give you.
Well, I noticed, too, that I was surprised to see that the glycemic count is actually slightly higher with honey, so pound for pound.
Yeah, so this is the interesting thing. Mm-hmm. So honey, a little bit more caloric, is sweeter in flavor. So if you use 2 teaspoons of sugar in your coffee, you may only need 1 teaspoon of honey. So definitely, experiment. And I love using honey as sweeteners in beverages, especially. And we also made up a frozen dessert using honey as well today.
So I have to believe there's a long history of cooking with honey. It was available in parts of the world that had access to honey, but not necessarily to sugar.
Definitely. Ancient uses for honey. And we go to not only as a food product, but also medicine, antibiotic, cleanser, the really amazing properties.
Cleanser.
The interesting thing about the antibiotic properties, because it's so viscous, it gives you a seal.
Mm-hmm.
So, for small cuts, bruises, burns, you can use that. And also the enzymes within honey actually produce hydrogen peroxide. So it's actually antiseptic as well.
Sharon Schmidt, your job is done. He's done everything for you.
I was going to add that it's also a humectant, so it's great as a for skin. It really moisturizes skin beautifully.
So tell us about the Oregon Honey and Mead Festival. We had a couple people who are heading for it talk to us over the last couple of days, but you moved this year from you had been in August, is that right?
Yes, we had been in August for the past 5 years. This is going to be our 6th year, and we're very excited to be in May when we don't have smoke. So, that will be starting on Saturday. We'll have the Oregon Honey and Mead Festival, and then that will be followed by the Women's Legacy Beekeeping Conference on Sunday. We have a variety of speakers, Marla Bulbear, who's here today, along with people from, we have a nomadic beekeeper by the name of Stephanie Taylor, who's coming in. She follows the bees, actually, from New Zealand to Canada and back again, so she's kind of in the land of perpetual summer. Fonta Molino, who is co-owner of the Wild Everlasting Farm. Laura Ferguson, who's the director of the College of the Melissa. I believe you might remember Pam Mint from last year, who's a colonel and who was deployed in 3 different theaters and is talking about beekeeping for people with PTSD.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so it's quite a rundown. Risa Halpin from the Southern Oregon Beekeepers Association is going to be giving us a little bit of opening remarks. And I think that I've neglected to mention somebody there, and they're probably – and I've gone blank, but that's the rundown from memory.
Did you include Mandy Shaw? Is she part of that too?
And Mandy Shaw, yes, mm-hmm. who's the president of Portland Urban Beekeepers and who was on yesterday and gave a fantastic interview about her work in swarm catching. So we have about 10 organizations that are bringing honey. We're very excited about that. And we also have a variety of different people that are involved in bees and beekeeping in various ways. I forgot to mention, the person that I forgot to mention was Elena Nino. And she's Dr. Elena Nino, and she's the director of the honeybee program at UC Davis. She'll give the keynote on Sunday.
All right. I want to ask you more about the Women's Legacy Beekeeping Conference, but I want to make sure we include Marla Bulbear here because you're kind of a holdover. You were supposed to be with the Lakota Youth here last year and got smoked out, essentially.
Yes, we have. This has been a long process in getting here, and we're so glad that we finally made it.
So talk about the overall work of what goes on with Lakota Youth Development.
Well, Lakota Youth Development is a Native nonprofit organization. We're 27 years old, and our purpose is to help youth rise through reclaiming their culture and then finding opportunities for them to grow as a Lakota person in society today.
So the economic conditions in your part of the world, this is on the Rosebud Sioux Reservation?
Yes. Yes, we have our primary reservation county, Todd County, is at the poverty levels equal to third world countries, unfortunately. And we're surrounded by wealth and farming. And so we are a bit of a food desert where we're located. And so there are limited opportunities for our youth.
So how did the Honey Venture get started? This is under the Honey Lodge brand, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It got started by, we tease, the name is Dave Braveheart. All around the country, we sing the name of his praises because he's a friend of mine, a hobby beekeeper that I invited to come and speak to the kids about bees. They learned that the bees were under attack, basically. They were suffering colony collapse, and Dave was very good at telling them what the conditions were, and they asked him one important question: what do we do to help? And he answered simply, keep bees. I have a master's degree in community counseling. My learning curve has been very steep. All I knew was that I loved honey. And now I know so much more about bees, about honey, because the kids have pushed me to find those resources for them. And so we started with one hive, and now we've grown, fluctuated from 25 to 50 hives at any point in time.
Wow. That's a lot of fluctuation. I mean, have there been some issues? Is that why you're down from
There's been some fluctuation. One of the purposes for Honey Lodge, by the way, the name and the logo was created by an 11-year-old. In our group, was to provide a work opportunity for our youth and to help them, mentor them in keeping bees. So we send hives home to the youth, and they take care of them for the summer, keep the honey for their family, and if there's any extra, Honey Lodge buys it back for the business. So it's also some income for them. What happened is we've had terrible weather conditions this year. We've had two, what the weathermen calling bomb cyclones.
Right.
Huge temperature fluctuation, floods, snow. We had our hives, our entire apiary was lost. And so we had a very difficult day, and the youth decided, you know, what do we do? The question was, what do we do? And I reminded them who they are. They're Lakota people, and we've existed for centuries, and we didn't give up. And so we don't give up. And so we reached out through social media, and we found unlikely partners, a Hutterite colony in South Dakota.
Really?
As actually partnered with us, said, here, we'll get you the bees. You guys do your fundraising. Take your time in paying us back. And so we now are back up to 25 hives, and we're so grateful that we have a new wonderful partner that we hope will be long-term friends with us.
So 25 hives from being wiped out. There was nothing left.
There was nothing.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Did the kids show any signs of like, okay, let's move on to the next thing? Or were they really determined to get back into the bee business?
They were determined to continue. They had a mission beyond just business. Their mission was to help the bees. And that's why it was so devastating. It was a real hard hurt because we're caring for our winged relatives. We live through our culture, and everything that is living our relatives. The bees are our relatives. And so when we lose them, that was a death. That was a mourning that we had to go through. And so we don't give up. We don't give up on our relatives. And so we reclaim them, and we have ceremony with them. We have a song that we sing for them. Mm-hmm. We actually have one of our elders that made a bee song I think you'll hear a bit of it on our website through our little video clip that we have. And so we have, even though Lakota did not historically keep bees, we were stewards. Originally, we talk about being stewards of the land. The land was a steward of us. And so we have a deep connection, and reminding our youth that we have a responsibility and a connection with our environment, that we have to be advocates now. Our grandmother Earth is struggling, and we have to be the ones to stand for her. We have to stand strong for her.
You remind me that that beekeeping and honey is more of a European bee kind of thing. So are there many stories in Lakota culture about bees of the kinds that were here naturally?
Well, there is the common bee. There are the mason bees, the mm-hmm. bees that were here naturally. And to remind people, there was balance. Our society, our environment is so out of balance. The honeybees are now critically important. We know now that if the bee stops existing on this earth, it won't be long before we're gone. And I think that where the bees are now, what I consider the pigeon in the mine. They're a warning to us, and when they're struggling, we have to pay attention.
Marla Bulbear, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, one of our guests. She's the executive director of Lakota Youth Development, which, among its other ventures, does beekeeping with young people who get to sell the bees, the honey, rather, under the Honey Lodge brand. She's brought to town by the Oregon Honey and Mead Festival. Sharon Schmidt, the executive director, is in the studio as well. Will Smith is here because this is nominally our Savers segment with a very expanded focus this
morning. I know. I love it.
One of the things we haven't talked about yet is the great variety of honey. And I wonder if in your work making food, if you have some particular choices in honey that you have.
Well, it's interesting that there's a great variety worldwide depending on what the bees are actually pollinating. So you're going to see a very change in color, change in flavor. The honey's just almost like a leafy green or juices. You want to go for the darker honeys are going to be more high in antioxidants, but a little higher in healthfulness. But it's a beautiful product.
It is indeed, and I remember from the tasting we did last year with Sharon that you can really have some different stuff going on.
Oh, it's like wine tasting. I mean, it's really amazing.
Without the headache.
Amazing variety of flavors.
Truly that. So talk about some of the dishes that you've put honey into, or some of the particular favorites that you have.
Well, so one that I really love. So I have a great ex-assistant, Lisa Wasserman, who's down in L.A. Hello, Lisa. she and I always used to laugh about the fact that even though we both went to culinary school, we like to use a teaspoon for like practically everything. Mm-hmm. So in that guise, I have a frozen cream recipe here that you don't need a ice cream maker for. It's super easy. A cup and 3/4 of heavy cream whipped, place that in the fridge to chill. You take 2/3 of a cup of honey, reduce it for 2 minutes. Then you take that into an electric mixer. You're going to turn the electric mixer on, add 4 egg yolks, 1 at a time. Let that whip until it's cool, or cold actually. And then you're going to fold that into your whipped cream, put it into a loaf pan in the freezer. And it is the most beautiful flavored ice cream that you'll ever have, and you don't need an ice cream maker.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, now you're talking my language.
I know.
Ice cream maker, really. So when you say reduce the honey for 2 minutes, how do you reduce it?
Yeah, so a slow boil, mm-hmm. and you don't wander off and make a phone call because you can scorch the honey. It is a sweetener that can burn, so definitely pay attention. But it's a definite, and you can serve it with fruit or cake or whatever.
Okay, talk of heating honey reminds me of honey production stuff. And I know, so you bring it up, and I have a question for Marla about this.
So much like extra virgin olive oil, you know, honey is one of these things that's really being adulterated around the world. So I wouldn't recommend buying honey. Again, we talk about this with every ingredient that we talk about. Get out of the supermarket. it's just not trustworthy. So again, go to the farmer's market, you know, contact your local beekeepers association. There is beautiful product that's raw, non-pasteurized, beautiful product and we live in a great area again, many honey producers, excellent product.
So I noticed in the stuff I was reading about Honey Lodge, about the stuff that you guys put out at Lakota Youth Development, that you don't go through a real heavy filtering and heating process.
No, we don't. We keep it as natural as possible because that's where the greatest value is. Our honey is a result of sweet clover, wildflower, and some alfalfa. And so North and South Dakota, in fact, kind of vie for first and second honey producers in the nation. And so I'm not sure where we're at with that, whether it's North or South Dakota, but we know that we have some pretty good honey.
I bet.
So when honey crystallizes, who can tell me about what's going on there?
Well, that's we get calls all the time that honey, real honey, crystallizes. In fact, that's a good way to know whether you have honey or syrup. Syrup never crystallizes. And so a lot of the stuff you find in the grocery store, I'm sorry to say, is syrup.
Yes.
And it's not actually honey at all. Honey crystallizes. In fact, they found honey in Egyptian tombs that is still good to eat. So honey is one of the foods that does not go bad.
I had heard that honey doesn't go bad. Yeah. So it sticks around so we're talking potentially thousands of years here. And I see Sharon Schmidt nodding yes.
Absolutely. I would definitely say that. You don't really want to heat honey. You don't really want to super filter it. One of the fingerprint of honey is basically its pollen signature. And so if there's super filtration that takes out the pollen, it removes some of the healthy benefits. And as Will mentioned before, there's a hydrogen peroxide activity, which allows it to be somewhat antibacterial, and we don't want to remove that by heating. So there are a lot of considerations about, how we use honey. And if you are, as Marla said, if your honey doesn't crystallize, there's something wrong.
Okay, so you want your honey to crystallize. Then once it does crystallize, what do you do to make it – can you make it pourable again?
Yes. Yeah, you can probably –
by heating it?
Exactly.
Yeah, generally not over 40 degrees centigrade. And so that is the – that's kind of the magic number. But you warm it up basically.
Yeah.
And you never – if you put it in a double boiler, you make sure you never get any water in it, as I'm sure Will knows,
correct.
Because otherwise you will create a product that will ferment. Which might or might not
that
be what you're looking
right
for.
Which brings up another question. I noticed the And Mead with the Oregon right. Honey and Mead Festival. So
yes.
There will be some honey-based alcoholic beverages floating around the Elks Club in Ashland tomorrow?
The people that are coming are folks from, we have some product coming from Nectar Creek, but we also have Oranmore Meadery and Steamworks Meadery, which is rather new in town, and I'm looking forward to tasting both of them. I know in the case of Oranmore and probably Steamworks also, they work very hard to acquire honey that has a specific taste so that each batch they put out has that signature. It's quite delicious.
The Oregon Honey and Mead Festival tomorrow in Ashland. Sharon Schmitz, the executive director of Cascade Girl, which is putting it on. Will Smith is here. This is our Savor segment with a bit of a twist in it. Marla Bulbear is the executive director at Lakota Youth Development. Will can pass out the cream while I ask Marla some more questions. How many students and young people have worked through the Honey Lodge brand over the years now?
Well, over the years, we've served over 7,000 youth.
Wow.
And we're with all of our youth programming. And so we have a core group of 50 youth that are involved in various capacities. We have a smaller group of 10 to 15 youth that are our leaders.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed this, in addition to the beekeeping and honey sales, is also cultural tourism and medicinal herb trail and sales?
Yes. The bees led us in interesting directions.
So this all started with the bees.
It started with the bees. Mm-hmm. And so we decided we need to create more wildflowers, more. And what we wanted to do was connect our prairies, restore our prairies. And so we created a restoration garden where we actually are growing our medicinal and edible plants that require pollination. And so we're providing more food for the bees, plus we're providing healthy medicines, more natural medicines and healthier foods for our youth.
So do they age out of the program at age 25, 26, something like that?
Well, that's interesting because now our youth that choose to can end up being staff. Part of our succession plans is that one of those youth is going to take my job one of these days. And I tell them, please remember to wheel me in when we have storytelling by the campfire. Wheel me in when it's time to do some honey tasting because I don't want to miss any of it.
All right. Pass this along. And we're going to pass out some of the cream. This goes to Marla, and I'll try some too. Sharon, you had a chance to test it while we were talking to Marla. How is it?
Oh, this is fabulous. And, and additionally, you can taste the vanilla, which Will has been very careful to source and
right.
Include.
And you don't have to add the vanilla, but I scraped one vanilla bean in as well. It's just, I just love that. That's like a childhood flavor to me.
Incredibly
and it's just
rich.
Heavy cream, eggs, and honey?
Uh-huh, and a vanilla bean.
And a vanilla bean, okay.
That's it. I mean, that's as about wholesome as you can get. I think Marla likes it.
Love it, and we've got to have that recipe.
Okay.
We're going to do this at camp.
Okay, super. I'll give it to you. Super easy.
All right, excellent. Thanks so much for Will for coming in for an expanded version of our Savor segment.
It.
As always, Sharon Schmidt from the Oregon Honey and Mead Festival. What time tomorrow at the Elks Club in Ashland?
The Elks Lodge, and it is at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we are going to have all of these fabulous honey products as well as people who are knowledgeable about all of these different aspects of bees, beekeeping, honey tasting. I know that Fonta is even bringing some medicinal herbs, including the Balm of Gilead.
Okay, from the biblical Balm of Gilead. Yeah, okay.
Seriously.
more to come. Marla Bulbear from Lakota Youth Development. Thank you so much for coming. Glad you could make it to the Valley this time around.
Thanks for having me.